Have your Bibles turned to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 12, Paul writes, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him of life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which having some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Paul writes here, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it is the same God which works in all of it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the common good." I'd like us to look at that last verse again. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the common good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has empowered you with something of value from the Holy Spirit that is helpful to this body? Has God placed you here, drawn you to this congregation in order to help this local body of the Lord's church become more than what it was before you came here? That's a lot for all of us to chew on. But here is the problem. Far too many Christians feel as though they simply exist. They come, they participate, they help out in a few areas, and then they have their real lives outside of this local church family. Part of the reason is that some Christians feel that way because they don't believe God. Now, they wouldn't put it that way, but the reality shows that belief or lack of belief. They struggle with verses like the one we read in 1 Corinthians. They don't see themselves as empowered by the Holy Spirit on any level, let alone to the degree of being an asset to this congregation as God's servant. Why is the concept of empowerment by God and usefulness in God's kingdom so difficult? I believe I know at least a part of that answer, and I hope you'll let me explain why I believe that. As Paul writes to Timothy, he does so with a need to encourage him. Timothy, as most of us know, was a young man. We really don't know what that means, whether it means he was just younger than Paul or he was actually really a young man. But what we do know is that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul will have to tell Timothy to let no man despise you because of your youth. When you are young and you have become somewhat a leader in the church, credibility is not simply given. It is earned. Sometimes that credibility takes years. Timothy had a job to do in an established congregation, and he needed to have the authority to do his work. But being young hurt his credibility. We also know that Timothy had the tendency to be timid or shy about confrontation. And Paul would have to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, he would have to tell him, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Timothy was not the bold man that Paul was. Now you put these two things together and place this young man here, a generally less bold young man in an established congregation that had leaders who wanted people to follow them, and you end up with a recipe for trouble. And Timothy had to learn to see himself differently, as each of us do. He's not alone. Timothy was never alone, and he had to realize it. Now, Timothy had this letter to use as authority, because Timothy was working in a congregation that Paul helped to establish or established. And Paul's words carried weight. But not only did he have that authority from Paul, he also had the authority from God. Timothy might have forgotten, and sometimes we do too, about how God uses people for his purposes. And Timothy needed to rely upon the power and strength which God had given him. Timothy was charged by God through Paul for the ministry. And it was time for Timothy to take up his mantle and do his ministry. You know, the other classic example of this would go all the way back into the book of Exodus to Moses, standing there at that burning bush, and he simply did not want to go back to Egypt. And he came up with every single excuse that he could think of to be able to not take up that leadership role that God had given him. What Moses forgot is that power is not simply within. Real power, the greatest power, is to be empowered by and with the Spirit of God. And once Moses took hold of God's power, his leadership would become one of the greatest of all times. And we need to think about that when we think about us individually. And Paul gave Timothy a very honest and open reflection of Paul's past for a reason. Timothy needed to understand that Paul was not some superhero Christian, that he was simply like everyone else. He wasn't better, wasn't superhuman. It was not his own power or might that allowed him to be an apostle, an evangelist, and teacher that he was. Our text that I read helps us to see that Paul was not afraid to tell his own story. He wasn't afraid to talk about his sinful past and what the power of God has done and is doing in his life. Let's go back to verses 12 through 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, again, I thank him who has given me the strength Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to a service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. The saying is trustworthy, deserving a full acceptance that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Where was Paul's strength? In Jesus Christ. Jesus enabled, Jesus strengthened, Jesus empowered Paul for the work of the ministry. You know, now we can sit back and we would think, well, it's pretty easy when you're walking down the road and all of a sudden you're struck blind in this bright light and you're actually having a conversation with Jesus. It's pretty easy then to realize you've been selected for something. It's pretty easy when you've been given the powers to be able to do these things. But while those powers may not come to us in miraculous ways, those powers are still empowered to us. It wasn't Paul's own power that did those things. Paul's powers as a Jew was not God-driven. And while Paul did accomplish many things, terrible things, when he was a Jew, they paled in comparison to what he did when he was empowered by God. He looked at his past. He saw that he was the chief of sinners, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an opponent of Christ. And I don't care how you paint it, that is not low self-esteem. That is an honest reflection of the life of a sinner before Jesus took hold of Paul for a greater good. Why do I bring these things up? Because individually, we need to take an honest look at our past. And maybe for some, even take an honest look at their present. Paul let Timothy know in no uncertain terms that a person can have a past, but also have a great present and a great future. Other than our little children in this auditorium tonight, there is not a single person in this auditorium that has something in their past that they don't particularly want the world to know. Sometimes we are so worried about our past that it affects our present. Timothy, through this letter, he needed to realize, and I think it's a great thing that Paul was able to see these things in Timothy, to be able to help him along and to overcome this hurdle that he was facing. But he needed to realize that just as Paul was forgiven and used by God, that Timothy could also be used in a powerful way. Timothy and each of us need to accept the truth of who we are in Christ, not who we are in the eyes of church people. There was a man that ruined his life. He had an awful lot going for him, and with a promising career that paid well, he had a wife who everyone loved, and life was good. Except that this man had issues that no one else knew about. And after a while, this man left his wife. He turned to a life of sin, and he ruined everything. He ended up contracting AIDS, and he knew that he was going to die from it. But as he got worse, he was seeing a counselor. And this counselor told him that he needed to go back to church and end his life surrounded by people of faith and to admit his past. This man couldn't do it. He knew exactly what everybody would say, and they would be right. But he did get the courage to go and talk with the preacher, and he unloaded to him his life of sin. He knew that he would scare the preacher, and he could at least tell his counselor that he tried. But instead of being pushed away, the preacher told him to come to worship that Sunday, to tell the church all that he had just told him. This man almost laughed out loud. But he went to worship that week. He sat in the back and he cried. He missed the singing, the communion, the fellowship, and he knew he was too bad to have it back. The second week he was there, and this time he decided that he really did need to tell the people. He knew that he would not be accepted by them, but he couldn't live anymore without God and die. So at the end of the sermon, during the invitation, he went forward. With the preacher standing next to him, he confessed his sins before the brethren and hung his head in shame. Before he was done, several people came forward, sat down with him, held his hand, or placed a hand on his shoulder. At the end, many came forward and welcomed him home. Why? Here was a man that in our own little world we would consider chief of sinners. The answer is very simple. Jesus came for people just like him, because there's no other person that's any better or worse. These people are just like us. We all have a past, just as Paul did. Now, if you're hurting inside, I hear you, because I believe that we all hurt inside a bit when we think about our life. Paul tells Timothy that Jesus saves and that he empowers us to do the work of the ministry. Now, if you will, for a moment, let's go back to the very beginning of the lesson in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I'll ask again, do you believe that? Can we have your gift that God has given you? Will you share yourself with us in a powerful way so that God is glorified and His church can grow? Maybe you are here and your heart is in pain. Maybe it's because right now you are still lost in your sins, that you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, that you have not been baptized into His body. You know you are living, but you are separated from the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus came for you, just as He came for all of us. It would be a great joy if we could witness your birth in Christ by helping you enter into His kingdom by being immersed into Christ. Maybe you are in His kingdom. Maybe you just need to be able to reconnect with God because of something in your life that needs repenting from. you know, for something that is not, that many consider not a necessity. The Bible speaks an awful lot about baptism. An awful lot. If that is your desire this evening, to put on Christ in baptism, to be buried with him, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you are a child of God and you have been separated from God because of something that has not been repented of, we want to give you that opportunity also. If there's anyone that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.